This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is SOP-8C Steps Continued. This tape is 25 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the second part of the November 10th lecture. What really falls under 5 is all of your comparative processes. It was basically designed to be all comparative processes. In other words, all double terminal processes were designed to fall really under 5. That was its basic definition of the step. Rather than a case level, it was just a bin into which we were going to throw all processes which compared things to things. That would be duplication. That would be getting two spaces and comparing the two spaces. That would be hauling mess spaces under one. And actually, change of space processing falls in that bin. See, there's two terminals. You be here and be there in space. You've got two things which are on a collapsed terminal. So any process which took apart two terminals or stretched them apart or put space in between them by directly addressing the idea of terminals fell under 5. And under 6, we tried to reach all processes which went beyond looking and got into symbols. And in step number 7, we have all processes which directly address contact, directly address the problem of orientation as a body, which immediately, of course, falls back to orientation of step 1. See? So we've got the contact as a body, and that's there to get all these body techniques, actually psychodrama and other things like that would fall under step 7. It's anything that would do with a body, just pure and simple body. You have this person as a body go around and touch and do and be things and so forth. So there's a tremendous number of body techniques because he's an inverted seventh dynamic. Now these techniques roughly invert a series of dynamics. And there is a step 8. And step 8 is simply a creation-destruction cycle, per se. And now, under that bin, cycles of action as processes fall. And anything even vaguely resembling a cycle of action falls in that category in an 8, which goes on creation-destruction. Now, there's the 8-level case. The 8-step case, step 8, is not summed up. The reason why, but here a dead man doesn't get killed and then pick himself up again, is because he is resisting destruction. Get that? Why, there's no reason why he can't mock himself up, pick himself up again. He can put himself together again pretty well, but he wants to be convincing, which is why he's dead, and so on, and he's perfectly willing to. He thinks on one line, but on the other side, he's done a tremendous resistance to something and has become all of it. You follow that? So we get those cases which have resisted space to such a degree that they're in negative space. Techniques which address this one kind and another. Negative space, of course, all these techniques address it to some degree. But it comes past the point of auditing. So we just throw it into 8 there. It's there. I mean, there is a step 8. Theoretically, the pre-cleared would be dead. He's resisted destruction to a point where he has absolutely no slightest thing. He couldn't destroy anything. You see. He'd be real dead if he couldn't destroy anything. And, however, there are a series of techniques which rehabilitate creation and destruction. And so before he gets to be a step 8, you take care of it by running the bin of techniques which have to do with this. There are a great number of these techniques which rehabilitate creation and destruction. And we moved these bins around in this pattern so that we got a better comprehension of the categories of techniques and about what case level they apply to. It doesn't approximate the tone scale. It's just a bunch of bins. But these bins can be used in sequence. A very tricky mathematical picture. These bins can be used in sequence. And the ones most readily used in sequence at the time became basic SOP8. But actually, basic SOP8, just what if you call SOP8, it should be called the design of standard operating procedure, which consists of 8 separate categories of techniques. You see? And these 8 categories of techniques, now we've merely picked up the handiest ones for the general public. Now we're merely really in clinical procedure, simply taking these same steps. Now we're going over the handiest ones for a fellow just operating on first and after person. It doesn't take much time to do an assessment. You miss the boat once in a while because he doesn't, and so on. But double terminaling names, nicknames, and what does one's name mean, and that sort of thing, of course would fall under 5. It would really only be a 5-level technique, a 5-level that was seriously affected this way. Words are starting to disappear, so on. So we have these bins. The way we're using them in clinical procedure is very, very brief. You see, we're just taking a little lick of promise of these things. We just sail on down the line. We ask him where he is and he isn't, and where he's not in the past, present, and future. And we know immediately by asking him where he is not in the past, present, and future, and where he is not. So when we know almost exactly what case level we're dealing with. This is not serious. This isn't serious that we're dealing with a roughed up case. This doesn't particularly mean he won't exteriorize easily. But in the process of where is he not in present time, he simply exteriorizes, which saves you the embarrassment of pushing him around and trying to explain Scientology to him. This comes to him as a great surprise. And that you keep on being calm about it, asking him where he's not. You can push a guy right on out of his head just asking him where he's not just by taking his toes right on up to his head, and he'll find himself 3 feet back of his head. Particularly if you ask him, let's see, are you in your nose? No. Are you in your eyes? No. Not in my eyes. Well, are you in your ears? Nope. Are you in the back of your head? Nope. Are you in the hair on the back of your head? Nope. Are you in the space immediately back of your head? Nope. What's doing this? I mean, why does he do this? It's simply that he is not. You see, it works out, a thing figures it out, that he can be what he can see. But it works out very directly, you see, that if he can look at anything, he isn't in it. If he can look at something, be sure he's seeing it. Well, you get him up to being sure he's feeling or sure he's seeing. It's only positive when you get it up to seeing. Why, he just exteriorizes, that's all. He just go on up the line. Every time you ask him for a new place of the body to be in, if he's in good shape, he's going to exteriorize easily. He will simply not be in that space the second he looks at it. He'll just keep moving back. And so he'll be out of his body. And he didn't go out of his body when you did that. So I'll throw him a couple of mock-ups. So now you're going to run this feeling process on him, which is right back to a space station. But you're going to sort of combine where are you not by sense of feel. You're going to tin cup him out. And you're going to do that simply by pulling his attention on the body and off of the body and into the environment and back and forth, each time locating enough spaces which with himself make a piece of space. That is real sneaky. And you give him 4 points every time to locate, he'll have 5 points there, which, of course, make a piece of space. That's all it is to that. Now, we find out that if he's having a rough time doing this and so forth, we just better do something about his name because it's got him hung up on some kind of a gold line. After, if you tin-cupped him out and he's still all fogged up, you waste only one item in the step 4 list, and you waste that in a bracket, and so on, and you just waste eyes. Waste viewpoints or waste eyes. He's using this crazy viewpoint system. You have him waste or blow up a few machines that make systems that make him careful so that he won't be hit. All kinds of weird things, you see. And then you waste eyes. And by wasting enough eyes in brackets, Why he comes out at all, right? Then we go down to the next step on the thing, and we run into solving his problems with his beingness, which is his name. But the person's pretty far down in serving his name. So, quite often, if he's gone all the way down there, you didn't tin cup him out worth a nickel. And he's having a rough time. He's having some kind of a rough deal with his name. Now, that's the first hidden influence that you run into. So just handles the hidden influence and double turn. Name. It's easy for anybody to do this because you can always find a concept up in here. It also teaches him to hold terminal stable, which is another sneaky way of making space. He's real interested in doing this, you see, making space. You tell him to put his name up vertically four times, you've made a cute eight-pointed space. Sneaky. And if this didn't do anything for him, I mean, if you've gotten that far, you haven't gotten that far on the process. This is, well, I'll be very blunt. You've done a lousy job. You actually have, because it's pretty hard to go that far south and not get someplace with somebody who was in communication with you in the first place by good exteriorization out of the past, where isn't he in the past, and so on. You normally clip out a lot of mental problems. And that process is just as good as remember something real. And you actually solve a lot of these problems by doing that. And you don't have to do too much of it either. It'll break what's commonly referred to as neurosis, psychosis, whatever they are. We're not interested in that, whether they do or not. It's just the point. So you'll actually seldom go with clinical procedure into actually comparison of spaces. But you will go into all of them after he's exteriorized if you're to keep on with his case. And then you'll just go over them by routine after he's exteriorized. Now remember, spaciation in clinical procedure applies to three universes. Now remember, you'll have to do cycle of action on this one. But there is one technique there which actually belongs in step five. And it's interesting that it is not recognized as such the first moment you look at it, but you'll see this is the moment that it does go in there, and that is injecting emotion into and feeling emotion back from bodies and objects. And there, of course, is putting the person in control of whether or not the terminal is discharging or not discharging. It gives him practice in making the terminal stable. But it also shifts his wavelength all over the place.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Now, as I go by the name, I was just checking up on this, what I've been doing here lately. When I go by the name, I usually run this gamut and make the preclear hold. By the way, this was an outside contribution. Auditor out on the coast remarked that on this, he said he was making the Satan run five or six emotions while holding one emotion on the body, which is a neat variation on this. Very neat. But it's not really necessary to do that, because as soon as he finds out that he can put emotion into things and so forth, of course he can change his own emotional state fairly easily. Well, anything below, is if you go on down, the fellow isn't exteriorized by the time you've got double terminal his name or something like that. You can just be assured of one thing. Boy, the body sure is running him. And I did a fantastic thing to somebody one time. You just go south of three, and the guy's body is handling him. He's being taken down the road by the motorcycle from Strickland. And I've actually had some success with this from time to time. I always get a little line charge on it. I have the body reach up and place him back at his head. Now I have the body reassure you. I have the body do this, the body do that. By the time I get to four, well, I'm having the body reassure him and be good to him and place him back there and give him permission to be back at his head and promise that it will still remain under control if he's back of his head, and saying it will still be there, or promising to disappear if he's a good boy, or any doggone nonsense. like this, which reverses the flow, because you do very much of this. And the fellow says, you know, that's silly. This is just lifeless clay, as far as I'm concerned. See? He gets over the idea very rapidly the second you start to actually tell him what he's doing. Anytime you assist Preclear in doing exactly what he's doing, you'll get an advancement of the case. Well, the trick was to find out how far south you had to go to discover what the devil they were doing. Well, they're trying to make a body disappear, actually, somewhat, anytime they're inside of one. That's the fastest way to make something. You ever see a little baby play peekaboo with you and then play hide and seek with you by holding something across his eyes? The baby puts his hand across his eyes, and as far as he's concerned, he's disappeared. Well, a Thetan thinks if he can't see the body, it'll vanish. And he's having a rough time trying to unmock the thing. And he started to unmock it soon one time or another. He's still trying. So, you get any kind of a technique that reverses this English, and you get somewhere. Now, clinically, you've noticed I have been talking about these things as an orderly progress. And clinically, you don't use them in an orderly progress. You know all these tools, and you start hitting with them. And in maybe the space of a half an hour of processing, I'll run from 1 to 5, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. See? But I'm careful, usually, not to start a double terminal technique or something like that, which will stimulate something and then let it hang. So I use very light version of clinical processing, extremely light version of clinical processing to get results. And I find out that you put the Preclear under duress and then use the lightest processes you know, and he exteriorizes. I've used more methods of taking people out of their bodies than I could rightly now sit down and classify. But they roughly fall into these 8 categories. Any one of those categories, one way or the other, will take a person out of his body. Let's take step 8. Take step 8. Now we just run cycles of action in the future of him being a Theta Clear. Sounds silly. Cycles of action in the future, we mock him up as having exteriorized and being very successful as a Theta Clear. You find out he has a hell of a time doing this, particularly if he's had a few failures on the part of auditors. See? You just run out his auditing failures. Then you have him dead because he was audited. Then his body dying because he got out of it. You just mock these things up and throw them around. Now, ordinarily, I have a Preclear explode or implode everything, and I'm always running another covert technique. I'm making him create and destroy, 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 until they finally get so they're doing it very rapidly. And this covert technique, of course, is the basic technique of all techniques. So you see how this thing figures. It figures 8 signposts from center. And they can go out in any direction and do them almost anyway. This incorporates the most satisfactory methods. There are other methods of which you've heard. Negative exteriorization, ridge running. All these techniques have some value. This business of negative exteriorization. It's an interesting technique, but of course it works only up to the instant where the fellow's dynamic inverts. And if you start exteriorizing him, as soon as you got him exteriorized, his dynamics are liable to invert just at that instant. I mean, uninvert. And after that, you tell him not to be someplace. Well, you don't know the exact instant when this is going to occur. So as a net result, he does what you tell him to do. You know, don't be, now try not to be, 3 feet in back of your head. And the guy is. And he suddenly recognizes that he is. And that's all well and good, but now you think that you've got him out by negative exteriorization. You'll have to give him some more negative exteriorization techniques. You tell him not to be someplace else, and he isn't. So, on the other hand, you may find him using negative techniques for half an hour, and then suddenly, he isn't anymore. You see? This is an unpredictable factor in the technique. And therefore, the technique isn't used. But I took a blind man out of his head with it one very easy. Took it very easy and slid him on out of his head before he knew what was happening. And he saw the lighted window, and he remained pretty stable outside, and so on. I turned him over and showed another auditor. I was just demonstrating to this other auditor just how this was done. The man said, all right, just take him from there. The fellow's case just stayed right at that level from there on. 6 months later, his case was at that level. He could see the dim outlines of lighted windows. Nothing further happened. I've often wondered, I never checked into it as to why, I've often wondered if it wasn't that negative exteriorization was what was carried on with the case instead of other techniques. And if the guy carried on negative exteriorations, he probably told him, now don't be here and there, or maybe he'd inverted the inversion or something of the sort, but he sure nailed that fellow in the back of his head. The fellow just nailed there. Okay. Have a better understanding of this clinical procedure? Now, for better or for worse, all the way through this course, you've been handling this process and that process and some other process and so forth. I've showed you various ways to make people mock up their bodies and so on. You've been a great deal of assistance, actually, to me, whether you know it or not. Enormous amount of assistance. Never go over this material, what I don't find out an awful lot. Never do. It's interesting about man, he's very random. And I think this material, which we have here, and which we've been reviewing rather consistently, and the principles which we've been reviewing, are quite easy to use. Another phenomenon has been going forward here, which is a bad one, and that is you're playing a sort of a game of, we used to call it tacit consent, but it isn't really tacit consent. You've got some degree, a level of agreement. You postulated some sort of goal in many cases, and that goal is being fulfilled one way or the other. I know a couple of you postulated the fact that I was going to clear because I'd never seen such ridiculous ease in my life, cases that have been terribly resistive right up to that moment. I never saw such ease. Don't get mystified as to why this is. You started out on the basis of no fast resolution, or you're still following it. You come up to some degree as a unit. And you must have gotten so darn used to slow progress with Dianetics or early Scientology or something. You must have gotten so used to gradual progress that that's what you're making. Gradual progress. Well, there's nothing wrong with that one way or the other. Just calling it to your attention. Just don't expect this gradual progress. And the bulk of the cases is you start processing it. You'll find out in a very short time. I want to give you a kind word now on the subject of this. You find out in a very short time after you work on Homo Sap for a while that he doesn't do gradual progress with his type of technique. And so ordinarily, he doesn't do gradual. He does. The bulk of the cases you'll process won't be gradual. Bing! I made a theta clear over the weekend in 12 and a half hours out of a not too well off case. 12 and a half hours. Now, you've got a long way to go as far as finding out a lot of things, but this isn't included in. I mean, she is going to get stuck inside it. No, not even vaguely, will she? Mostly because I've given her the techniques which spring her out, made her go through the drill several times. She can spring out on feeling and spring out on looking and spring out on running emotions, putting emotions in the body, and it springs her. So you shouldn't drag your feet on a lot of these things as you are doing. Okay.